Brothers Pictures, an AOL Time Warner company. Franchise Pictures. Franchise Pictures presents a Rainer Griesman production. An Escape Artists production. A Rob Reiner film. Kate Hudson, Luke Wilson, Alex and Emma. A painting shows men and women dressed in 1920s style clothes. Sophie Marceau, David Paymer, Rob Reiner, Francois Girardet, Lobo Sebastian, Chino XL. In a beach scene, legs stick out from beneath a patterned parasol while men in one of his bathing suits talk with women with precise bobs. A glamorous woman from the first painting is shown in the second wearing a scarf decorated with pale pink flowers. The flowers are shown on a tree in front of a large house, where a dark-haired man dressed in a cream suit is watching the same woman, now wearing an elegant cream evening gown. The woman looks back at the cartoon man, who steps forward and gets smacked in the face with a croquet mallet. Words typed on a computer screen read, Adam Shipley was an ordinary man. The typist, a man in his 30s, shakes his head with dissatisfaction and starts again. To Adam Shipley, the world was a confusing place.
It is, and that stinks.
Hearing noise outside, he cautiously crosses to the window. He runs to the hallway.
You be not to look like me. I can't afford to look like you.
Seeing two people coming up the stairs, he races back into his rundown apartment and tries to jam a chair under the door handle. It's not tall enough, so he leaves it there anyway and hurries up a ladder. He paces the small loft space, then comes down again and goes into the bathroom, shutting the door behind him. He comes out again and hides in a closet.
Mr. Shelton!
Maybe he's no here.
The front door is kicked in.
Mr. Shelton! Are you home?
Help me, Lord.
Two gangsters stand either side of the closet door and open it.
How you doing? I was just looking for a sweater. Oh, here it is.
Look at you. When was the last time you take a bath, huh? What do you think, Tony? Maybe we should open a window.
See. No, wait. As soon as I finish the book, you get the money.
You said that last time.
Guys, come on.
In a diving pool.
Wait.
Nothing but pavement. There's not an awning in sight.
Wait, I swear I'm almost finished. I swear.
How close?
Close. Very close. Insanely close.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it was a little slow going at the start, but I'm really cooking along now.
Joas.
Show you.
Joas.
You guys been working out together? I mean, how do I get that look? You know, see, I think I've been doing too much cardio.
Did you write on this?
Yeah, it's all right there. Just a couple of chapters to go. It's good, though. It's good.
Joss.
Well, you know, an author doesn't really like to show what he's...
Joss, the book, Mr. Chilton.
I can't. I'm blocked. I haven't started.
July?
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
I know.
Very, very bad. I told you what we're gonna do. We're gonna do a little science experiment.
What are you doing?
See this? Curious what's like, the cooking along on the computer.
Oh, come on. Please don't do that. How do you expect me to write if I don't have a computer?
We don't expect you to write, Mr. Chilton. We expect you to splatter.
Wait, don't do this. Please. Let's rethink this. Come on, guys. Let's rethink it. I'll double what I owe you. $100,000.
In 30 days.
Okay. 30 days. That's good. I'll do it in 30 days. You'll have your money in 30 days.
I gave you 75. Where did that go?
Florida Gaming Commission.
What?
Hialeah dog track.
You gambled away $75,000 on dogs?
Well, a little more than that. See, I borrowed from some Cuban gentleman down Miami way.
You know, Alex, you have a major talent, but you're pissing it away. Now, you get $125,000 when I get the manuscript. That's the deal we made. I've given you a year. What have you been doing?
I fell in love. Didn't work out.
Perfect. A love affair gone bad, gambling, criminal types, all the elements of a bestseller.
You see, they're gonna kill me if I don't get the money in 30 days.
Then you better get to work.
Alex looks a little puzzled by his publisher's lack of concern for his welfare. A bus pulls up on a city street and some people get off. One of them is a young woman with straight reddish hair. She's wearing a somber gray suit with a muted brown scarf around her neck. She refers to a scrap of paper in her hand, then sets off along the pavement. She arrives outside a shabby apartment building and frowns, looking unsure as to whether it's where she's meant to be. Inside, she knocks on a door. It's opened by Alex.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry. Is there possibly another Cambridge student? I'm looking for the law offices of Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce, and Van Buren.
That's us. Miss
Dinsmore. Emma Dinsmore.
Hi. Alex Sheldon. Won't you come in?
No, I don't believe I will. This doesn't look like a law office. It doesn't even look like a nice place to live.
Yeah, I know. Our office is in the Prudential Tower, which, by the way, are very impressive. You know, law books, conference tables, leather. They're being redecorated, but there's been a holdup with the marble, something about the Cutters and Carrara wanting better health benefits.
Alex suddenly falls to the floor, landing at Emma's feet. She looks alarmed.
Mr. Sheldon? Mr. Sheldon, I'm gonna leave now. How can I leave? I have a dead lawyer lying on my foot. How can I do that? What kind of person would I be, huh, Mr. Sheldon? Not a good one. Not a very good one. Okay, come on. Get out of the door. Put you in the reception area. Better yet, let's put you in your conference room. Preparing for your big case, you can just do it here. Mr. Sheldon? Mr. Sheldon!
Yeah, I'm fine.
Alex gets to his feet.
This has only happened to me one time before. Little League championship game. I was up with the bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. I hadn't eaten lunch that day.
I have to go.
Please, wait a second. I need your help.
Unhand me.
Did you say unhand me?
I won't be taken advantage of.
Ms. Dinsmore, I had no intention of trying to take
advantage. Oh, no, then why did you ask my company to send me up here? Because you're not fooling anyone, Mr. Sheldon, if that's even your real name. This is clearly not the law office of Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, or Pearson Van Buren, who just so happened to have been presidents of the United States.
You're right. This isn't a law office, and yes, indeed, they were presidents.
Yes. So what other conclusion can we draw from this, Mr. Sheldon, except that you were trying to take advantage of me?
Well, we could also conclude that I'm a liar.
Yes, we could. And in fact, we have.
I'm sorry. It's just that I really need your help, Miss Dinsmore. You see, I'm a brilliant novelist, and
yeah,
I've got to...
And I invented nuclear energy. If you'll excuse me, I have to split some atoms.
Wait.
Alex grabs a book.
Miss Dinsmore. Ms. Dinsmore, if we could please try to put this behind us, I just want your stenography services, that's all. I assure you, I'm a desperate man.
Well, I don't intend on spending my time in the personal apartment of a desperate man. You want sex, Mr. Sheldon. You are barking up the wrong body.
Ms. Dinsmore, I know my veracity's been called into question, but I swear to God that barking up your body is absolutely the furthest thing from my mind.
Well, I don't believe you.
Right now, I can't think of any woman I'm less interested in going to bed with. Nice meeting you.
What was that supposed to mean?
Well, I only meant that, while I'm sure there are many men who'd be thrilled to find themselves in bed with such a forthright woman as yourself, I just have different tastes, that's all. I prefer women that are more... less forthright.
Mr. Sheldon, didn't you expect that whoever showed up would immediately find out that you weren't a law office?
Ms. Dinsmore, I owe some guys $100,000, and I gotta get it to them in 30 days. The only way I can do that is by finishing my next book, and the only way I can do that is by dictating it to a stenographer.
How much do you have left?
All of it.
You want to dictate an entire book to me?
That's right.
In 30 days?
Correct.
I get $15 an hour, and I expect to be paid at the conclusion of each day.
And I'd really like to do that, but unfortunately, I can't.
At the end of each week?
The end of the job. I get paid when I turn in the manuscript.
And what happens if you don't finish in 30 days?
I'll finish in 30 days.
But if you don't finish in 30 days, then what happens?
I get killed.
Emma walks away without a second glance. Alex is sitting in his apartment, tapping a pencil on an empty pad of yellow paper.
I forgot my scarf. Sheldon, I forgot my scarf.
Alex wearily returns to his chair, leaving Emma to linger uncertainly in the doorway. She cautiously steps inside the apartment and picks up the book he tried to show her earlier. The title reads, Love is Always Having to Say You're Sorry, and there is a photo of Alex on the back cover.
What's your book about?
It's the story of a man who's frightened of commitment yet so desperately in love with a woman he's afraid it might kill him. It's a comedy.
Does it kill him?
You'll have to read the book. What are you doing?
I want to see if he dies.
You can't read the end first.
Then tell me how it ends.
You have to read the book.
This is how I read books. If I like the ending, then I'll know I like getting to it. If I don't like the ending, then I know not to waste my time.
She raises her eyebrows, reads the last page, then smirks.
See? Now I want to read this.
Alex looks exasperated, then sits down.
What's your new book about?
It's about the powerlessness of being in love and how it devours the insides of a person like a deadly virus.
Another comedy?
Yeah.
Will you have another fit if I ask you how it ends?
I don't know how it ends.
How can you write a story if you don't know how it ends?
Because I know the characters, and they tell me where the story goes.
Interesting.
Emma picks up her bag, then crosses to the other side of the table Alex is sitting at. She distastefully discards a pair of jeans strewn across the seat, then sits down and takes out her stenography machine.
You're gonna do it?
Yes.
Great! Okay. Okay, read me back what we've got so far.
The summer of Adam Shipley's sabbatical from Andover. Maybe if you had a year, you know. The summer of Adam Shipley's sabbatical from Andover was in, and then any four-digit number gets you a complete sentence.
Yeah, but not a particularly good one.
How about summer of Adam Shipley's sabbatical from Andover was really hot?
What's that noise?
What noise?
Yeah, that high-pitched ringing sound, kind of like...
I think I may be getting a brain tumor, because that's one of the early signs.
Okay, how about you shorten it? Adam Shipley took a sabbatical. Period.
No, see, look. You want the first sentence to set the tone, to grab the reader and take them into the story. Call me Ishmael, right? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you see why I can't begin? The giants that have gone before me. Does it seem foggy in here? There's this haze, and I think the tumor could be spreading to my occipital lobe.
I have to go.
Well, it's only 7 o'clock.
I know, these last 5 hours have just flown by.
Will you be back tomorrow morning?
I can't see why.
What do you mean?
Okay, well, here's what I've been figuring. You've got exactly 8 words so far. Since a tight page is 350 words, that's roughly 6 weeks per page, with 1 week off for Christmas, 2 week summer vacation. 300 pages would take approximately 37 years, which, quite frankly, is a little more than I'm willing to allocate to this project.
Ms. Dinsmore, I think you're underestimating the process here. I mean, this isn't a comic book. It's a novel. There's character development, symbolism, subtext.
Which would you prefer, Mr. Sheldon, the pepper spray or the stun gun?
Adam Shipley had given up on love. Art was to be his mistress. And so it was that in the summer of 1924, we're rolling. We just got started. Okay?
Emma sits down in front of her stenography machine.
Adam Shipley had given up on love. Art was to be his mistress. And so it was that in the summer of 1924, he took a sabbatical from Andover to write, if not the great American novel, then certainly one that would make the world sit up and take notice. To support himself while he worked, he accepted a position as an English tutor for a French family vacationing on the island of St. Charles.
Never heard of an island called St. Charles.
It's off the coast of Maine, northeast of Nantucket. Beautiful.
Still never heard of it.
I made it up.
You got a second paragraph?
A what?
If it's gonna be 300 pages, you're gonna need more than one paragraph.
Oh, that ringing sound.
I have to go.
Adam boarded a train in Boston, headed for the ferry at St. Charles.
And then?
St. Charles was an exclusive island, known for palatial mansions, manicured lawns, and an exquisite gambling casino. There was also an especially large French contingent who had claimed the island after it was discovered by Jacques Cartier in the 16th century.
Wait a minute.
What, I'm going too fast?
I thought you said you made up the island.
I did.
But you just said it was discovered by Jacques Cartier in the 16th century.
Yeah?
Jacques Cartier was a real guy. You can't have a real guy discover a fake place.
I can't?
No, it's a perversion of history. If you have a fake place, you have to have a fake explorer. Now, if you have a real place, then you
can... Ms. Dinsmore. Ms. Dinsmore. I mean, I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing. If you could type and I could write, that'd be really terrific.
That's what we were doing.
Adam found himself seated next to a man named John Shaw. A man who had the uncanny ability to make a 2-hour train ride seem like 10.
I've been summering in St. Charles since I was a boy. It would have been my second home if I didn't own 3 others.
Shaw was a short, round man in his 50s, and the word second was said with a whistle as his breath escaped between the space which separated his 2 front teeth.
I hate it when they do that.
Who? What?
You. Authors. You use a name like John Shaw, and I picture in my mind thin, with a stylish mustache. And then when you finally get around to describing him, he's this fat old fart with a hole in his teeth.
You remember the part about you type and I write? We really have to adhere to that, Ms. Dinsmore.
You're the author. You're God. You can create whatever comes into your head. Characters who we like or characters who make us want to shut the book and never open it again.
Shaw was a slight man with a thick blonde...
Thin black
mustache.
So who's this family you're to tutor? St. Charles is a small island. I'm sure I know them.
They're from Paris, a divorcee and her 2 children, an 8-year-old boy, Andre, and a 6-year-old girl, Michelle. The mother's name is...
Paulina Delacroix.
Why, yes.
Would you care to join me for some tea in the dining car?
All right.
Adam is identical to Alex.
Madame Delacroix seemed very charming in her correspondence.
Oh, she is. And quite the little trooper, too, putting on such a brave face under the circumstances.
The circumstances?
The family is in desperate financial straits. If it weren't for a wealthy grandmother in Paris who's dying, they'd have no hope at all.
Are you absolutely certain? Because from their correspondence, they seemed like they're
It's a facade. It's all a facade. But don't worry, she has enough to pay you.
How can you be so sure?
Because I am returning just now with a bank draft from my personal account, which will provide Polina with enough to cover her expenses through the summer.
She asked you for a loan.
Well, we're calling it a loan, but it really doesn't matter. I intend to ask her to marry me by summer's end.
Now, why did you do that?
What? Why did I do what?
Don't you think it's kind of coincidental that Adam just happens to plop down next to his employer's fiance?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I didn't know Shaw was the fiance when Adam plopped.
Now, what do you mean you didn't know? How could you not know?
Okay. I wanted Adam to learn from Shaw that the Delacroix family was almost broke and desperately waiting for the grandmother to die. Then I realized as soon as Adam heard this, he'd be worried about his wages. This was a problem I hadn't anticipated till I got there. Then I had the idea, what if Shaw agreed to loan Paulina the money to cover her expenses? But why would he do that? Perhaps he's in love with her. Shall we continue?
You started having absolutely no idea what was going to happen, and then by pure luck, it just worked out?
Well, I like to think it's more than luck, but every writer does depend on the muses smiling down on him occasionally.
And if the muses don't smile?
My head starts ringing and my eyes fog over.
So is there smiling now, or are we heading back into the fog with the ringing sounds?
There's smiling.
Good. What happens next?
Adam falls in love.
With whom?
There's no accounting for love, for why one look, one casual touch, one breath of perfumed air can ignite feelings so strong it's almost painful.
He seems awfully shallow.
What are you talking about?
He just looks at her and he's in love.
So you've never heard of love at first sight?
Right. That must be it.
Continuing on.
Paulina Delacroix, it's a great pleasure to meet you, Mr. Shipley.
You as well, Madame Delacroix.
Oh, please, call me Paulina. This is John Shaw.
We've met.
This is André and Michel. Voici votre professeur anglais, Monsieur Shipley.
We are very pleased to be meeting you, Mr. Shipley.
Very pleased to be meeting you, too.
Allow me to introduce the others. This is my father. And this is Madame Blanche, a close friend of my father's. Enchanté, monsieur.
Madame Blanche offers her hand for Adam to kiss, but he shakes it awkwardly instead.
Well, let's be off. Claude, could you please fetch Mr. Shipley's belongings?
Oh, that's okay. I can fetch. I don't mind fetching. I love to fetch.
Don't be silly, Mr. Shipley.
You wouldn't want to be silly.
I think it's going to be a very special summer.
Oh, yeah.
Adam trips over some cases.
You like that?
It's very funny.
Thank you.
He's like a fool.
What? No. He's smitten. He's blinded by love.
Oh, right. Because I didn't see the attraction at first. But then when she said those intoxicating words, Claude, could you fetch his belongings? Who could resist that?
All right. Good. What do you say we call it a day?
Okay. Good, because I have to type all this stuff up tonight.
How many pages we got?
I'd say about 8.
It's not bad.
Considering the somewhat awkward beginning. So, I guess I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be here around 9.
Great. Thanks for a good first day.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. St. Charles seemed almost unreal, like a magical playground for the well-to-do. There was, however, something besides the affluence and beauty of St. Charles which filled Adam's brain until he could barely breathe.
It was Paulina's perfume and the application thereof upon her ample bosom.
Oh, please.
What?
Ample bosom?
What's wrong with that? It's literary.
Oh, well, in that case, you forgot the heaving.
The what?
In every book I've ever read, whenever there's an ample bosom, there's always heaving.
Do we have to talk about this right now?
You're the one who introduced the bosoms. I'm simply asking if you'd like them to heave.
Fine, let them heave. Though he had always considered himself a member in good standing of that great army of destitute artists, upon arriving at the Delacroix estate, Adam began to consider that he may have been a bit hasty in condemning the acquisition of large sums of money.
Mr. Shipley, Ilva will help you get settled in the guest cottage.
Ilva? Her name is Ilva.
Swedish.
That's not a real name. Who made that one up, Jacques Cartier?
It's her name, okay?
Okay, how do you spell it?
Just like it sounds.
I-L-V-A.
No, it's Y-L-V-A.
Y-L-V-A? That's not how it sounds.
Well, that's how she spells it.
Okay, you want Y-L-V-A? It's Y-L-V-A.
Good.
Fine. Just so you know, it's not how it sounds. Who is she anyway?
She's this pain-in-the-ass au pair.
Well, here we are.
Ilva is Emma.
Thanks,
Ilva!
Ilva? Now, that's a beautiful name. How do you spell that?
Y-L-V-A.
Ah, just like it sounds.
Very funny.
What? I take from life.
I am to unpack
okay,
for
I
you.
Can,
no, Madame told me to unpack for
all
you.
All right. So, she seems very nice, Madame. Has she been keeping company with Mr. Shaw very long?
She does not love him.
Really?
But she will marry him.
Why?
She is desperate for the money.
I thought she was supposed to receive a large inheritance from her grandmother.
Yeah, but the grandmother, she takes a very long time to die.
So if Paulina had money, she wouldn't have to marry Shaw.
I see what you're doing. You've got the triangle. We already know Adam and Shaw both like Paulina. Now we find out they both have obstacles.
Yeah, it's called a plot.
And the reason you're being sarcastic with me is?
Because if I don't finish this book in 28 days, two very large Cuban gentlemen are going to see to it that I'm not around to enjoy a 29th.
Fine. Except for the typing, I'm not here.
Why do I think that will never be altogether true? As Adam settled into his routine at the Delacroix estate, he knew he had a job to do. Teach those children English like they'd never been taught before. Focus, focus. He had to focus. Who was he kidding? There'd be no focusing with Paulina on the premises. On Tuesday, he caught a glimpse of her ankle and was forced back to his room for prayer and reflection. Adam wondered, was it possible? Could a woman like Paulina actually be interested in an ordinary man like himself? Why not? This wasn't India. There was no caste system here. This was America, where everybody had a shot with everybody. There was no denying it. Her feelings for Adam were as real as the egg salad in his lap. It was another glorious day in St. Charles as Adam chased Andre and Michelle, who giggled as they conjugated the verb to run. Run. We run, you run.
They run. C'est l'heure d'aller déjeuner, les enfants. Vous allez aller vous laver les mains.
I run.
No, you do not run. Go wash your hands. Ah, Elsa.
I have finished with this strudel.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Who's she?
Elsa, the au pair.
I thought Ilva was the au pair.
Yeah, I didn't have a real fix on the character. The Swedish wasn't working for me. She needs more edge.
Swedes have no edge?
No. It's common knowledge. You know, they got that light blue flag. It's better if she's German.
Of course, because all Germans have edge.
No, I mean, not all, but some certainly. I mean, Hitler springs to mind.
Fine, she's German.
Thank you, Elsa. Would you be so kind as to take the children? I must speak with Mr. Shipley.
Yes, of course. Let's go. Mach schnell, wasch Hand, run zu die Haus!
Our family is in something of a crisis, Mr. Shipley.
Yes, I've heard.
Oh, Adam.
What a disaster it all is.
Hearing his name from her lips for the first time was almost more than he could bear.
Children shouldn't have to deal with burdens like this.
I'll do my best to see that they're protected.
I want to see them happy.
I'll make sure they're happy.
All I want is a simple life and a man to share it with. A man who will truly love me for me. Is that too much to ask?
I think that's very reasonable.
Would you kill for me?
I beg your pardon?
Would you kill Sho for me?
You want me to kill Sho?
I owe him so much money. And if he lives, I will have to marry him.
Yes. Well, I'd kill him in a second, you understand. It's just that, when you're a tutor and people see the word murderer on your resume, sometimes they have a tough time getting past that.
I'm teasing, of course.
It was at this moment that Adam realized all that stood between him and the perfection of Paulina's arms was inexhaustible wealth.
What is it with guys like Adam?
What do you mean?
Do they really like being driven crazy by women like Paulina? They're like lemmings running into the sea. They can't wait to be drowning in their own misery. If they're not in agony, then it can't be love. Why do men want women like that?
Maybe you're not picturing Paulina the way I'm picturing her.
What? Gorgeous, exciting, incredibly sexy.
Maybe you are.
Yeah, that's great for a weekend, but what do you think will happen in the long run?
What do you mean, like the next weekend?
No, like when it's time for the first laundry. I know. In great romantic novels, there's no laundry or there's people like Ilva or Elsa to do it. Maybe that's why I like them. They can wash their own clothes. Okay, where were we? Oh, yes, Adam needs a fortune so he can live happily ever after with his true love. Who is it?
Elsa, it's me, Adam.
Oh, Mr. Shipley, I'll be right there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I inconveniencing you?
No, I was just washing my hair. Come in.
Elsa looks like Emma.
Won't you sit down?
I can't stay long.
Sit down!
All right.
I'll make you tea. Oh, this is good.
What?
You're creating another triangle, Paulina, Adam, Elsa.
No, she's just someone he can talk to. He feels comfortable with her. You know, now that she's German. I hear there's a casino on the island.
Yeah? So generally goes there often with Madame Blanche.
Where is this casino?
It's right off the boardwalk. To the Regency. But Mr. Shipley, you're not sinking.
Elsa, do you believe in destiny?
Destiny?
That a man and a woman are meant to be together?
Yeah. But only if they are both ready. With love, one must be patient. Must not eat the fruit until it is ripe. The baby must crawl before he can walk. The farmer must sow before he can reap. The butcher must kill before
Elsa,
he can...
Elsa, you struck oil. Stop drilling. I'm talking about fate here. When feelings are so powerful, it's as if some force beyond your control is guiding you to someone who can make you happy beyond your wildest dreams. I never thought I could experience feelings such as these until now. I thought they only existed in storybooks. But now I know it can be real.
It can?
Yes, Elsa. Yes.
Oh, Adam.
And once I have money, my destiny, Paulina, she'll be mine.
Elsa pours boiling water on his crotch.
I am so sorry.
Maybe if you blow on it.
Will you ever forgive me? Why should she ask for forgiveness?
Are you kidding? She poured scalding hot water on his crotch.
He led her on. He made her think that he wanted her.
She misinterpreted.
No, I don't think so. And don't tell me that Elsa winds up getting hurt, because that would be so unfair.
I don't know. You can't always control what happens to characters. Sometimes they take you to unexpected places.
People get hurt in books. People get hurt in real life. Adam left a disappointed but resilient Elsa like a... Adam left a disappointed but resilient Elsa like a man on a mission. A man on a mission with hot, wet balls.
Alex.
Okay, lose the balls. Adam entered the edifice that he had hoped would transform his life. $200 was all he had to his name. It was enough to get him through the summer, but certainly not enough to win a woman like Paulina.
Adam scans the crowded casino.
The atmosphere was intoxicating. There was more money than he had ever seen in his life.
17, wow, 17 black.
How do I,
Merci, monsieur. 200 vert pour monsieur. Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Faites vos jeux, monsieur.
His heart beat like a drum. He understood instantly that this wasn't just a game he would play for his amusement. It meant a lifetime of love with Paulina. Every roll, every bounce of that little ivory ball would bring him one step closer to paradise.
Zero! Zero!
Zero, that's green. I thought there was only red and black. There's green?
Oui, monsieur.
So what is that, like a do-over?
No, monsieur, you lost him.
I lost?
You lost him.
He lost. Adam would have to find another route to Paulina's heart.
And what is so wrong with poverty?
Ah, the voice of the common man.
No, really. The proletariat are not as miserable as they're made out to be. Wealth does not make for happiness, Mr. Shaw. It is love which sustains us. The joy of family, the wonders of nature, the supreme pleasure of spending a life with someone devoted to you. And no amount of money will ever give us these. No amount.
I see you found the casino.
Very interesting concept, Mr. Shipley. Poverty as an aphrodisiac.
Pay no attention to him. He's jealous of your purity.
Yes, I long for insolvency.
Oh, please, John.
Pardonnez-moi.
Oui, Claude.
She's dead. Grandmother is gone. Stop. We have closed up the house. Stop. Details to follow. Stop.
Adam accidentally puts his hand on Shaw's instead of Paulina's.
Could it be? Money was no longer an obstacle? Paulina found herself with feelings she never knew she had. What she assumed would be the answer to all her problems left her with unexpected sorrow. Her grandmother had been a kind soul, and Paulina was filled with the loss of the woman who had so often held her in her arms and comforted her with her warmth and wisdom.
It's beautiful.
You don't like it?
No, I'm saying it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that about does it for today.
Okay. You know, you're not at all like you seem at first.
How's that?
Well, first you seem kind of like...
What?
Kind of a mess.
A mess?
Yeah. You live like a slob, you're a hypochondriac, you're extremely insecure, and you lie.
Thank you.
It's true. But somehow all those qualities combine to make something, I don't know, nice.
I think your qualities combine nice, too. What do you say we get an early start tomorrow?
Okay, great. Early. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Outside his apartment, Emma waits for a bus. She looks back up at his window and sees him pulling off his shirt. She smiles and slips off the curb, dropping her papers into a puddle.
Oh my God! Wait! Wait!
All right, honey, it's all right. Take your time.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
The next morning, a bus pulls up outside Alex's apartment. Emma steps off, carrying two bags of groceries. She knocks at the door of his apartment.
Hi. You said you wanted to get an early start.
My alarm didn't go off. What time is it?
6:45.
No
No wonder it didn't go off. What time did you get up?
Around 5. I'm an early person. Some people are early people, other people are late people. What kind of person would you say you are?
Are you moving in?
No, I just brought some groceries for us.
For us?
Well, for me, really. I can't keep working without eating something normal, but you're more than welcome to. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like fish sticks and Cap'n Crunch as much as the next guy.
Sorry, I just got caught up.
Oh, you don't have to apologize. I understand. You're a creative genius. You shouldn't have to worry about things like food or eating. Why don't you go take a shower and I'll make you some breakfast?
No, no, we don't have time. We still need at least 150 pages. We'll eat as we work. Let's see what we have from yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah, let's go over yesterday to see where we are.
You know, why don't we just keep going? I mean, like you said, we don't have a lot of time, and if we just keep going over and over what we've already done, then we won't get finished.
He takes a look at the papers inside a folder.
Adam walks through the casino and sees lots of people sitting around and doing stuff like playing roulette and drinking booze and yakking?
I thought that Adam...
Adam liked Paulina, but he also knew she was kind of weird. So even though sometimes he thought it was love, all it really was is that he was hot for her.
Well, Alex, it's true.
No, it's not. He's madly in love with her from the first minute he sees her. And where's what I wrote?
I was getting on the bus. There was rain and it was a huge puddle. And she my feet just tripped. And it just spilled. And I'm sorry, and I tried.
It's okay.
I tried to fix it.
It's not your fault.
It is.
I'll fix it. I've lost pages before. It'll be okay.
It will.
Yeah, it'll be fine. How many pages got wrecked?
18.
18. Time to get up. As Paulina mourned for her beloved grandmother and tended to family matters, Adam struggled to keep his feelings for Paulina in check. Adam's friendship with Elsa continued to grow. Unaware of the deeper feelings she held for him, he regaled her with stories of the exciting life that he would share with Paulina. Adam's passions continued to rage out of control. With his beloved Red Sox well out of contention for the American League pennant, baseball no longer provided a viable diversion. Shaw was not to be underestimated. Despite the insubstantial mustache, he'd proven himself to be a formidable foe. Adam knew that all too well. He had to make his move. But when?
Alex is tucking into pizza.
Can I?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. I'm formulating.
She plucks a piece of tomato off her pizza and peels off the skin.
I don't like tomato skins.
Who are you?
What?
We've been in this room for over 3 weeks. And besides the fact that you have an opinion for just about everything that I do in a rather odd way of eating pizza, I don't know anything about you. Like, where are you from? What have you been doing with your life? Do you have any friends, a boyfriend, parents?
It's my personal life, Alex.
I know, I know. And if you don't feel like sharing, I completely understand.
I live in Jamaica Plain. Both my parents are dead, I think. My mother died 6 years ago. My father left when we were very young, and I heard he drank himself to death.
Like I said, if you don't feel like sharing. Did you mention whether or not you have a boyfriend?
I didn't.
Do you think you will mention it?
Maybe.
Do you think you'll mention it now?
I do have a boyfriend, and I met him last year at a hockey game.
Oh. Now, is it serious or is it just one of those hockey romances?
We're planning on getting married next June.
Huh. Well, I think I'm about done formulating. Where was I?
Adam was deciding when to make his move.
Yes. Adam could wait no longer. He felt like a kid who had just finished counting in hide and go seek. It was now ready or not, here I come. Yet still, his overture must not appear insensitive or indelicate.
Polina is at his door, and they kiss passionately.
Wait a minute. What are they doing?
What's it look like they're doing?
Just like that?
Why not?
Her grandmother just died.
Exactly. She's looking for comfort.
I thought you said Adam was going to be sensitive to her.
You're right. I did. I am so sorry that your grandmother died.
Alex, it just isn't great like this.
Are you nuts? It's fabulous like this.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Look, I'm the writer, okay? And I'm saying it is.
And I'm the reader, okay? And I'm saying this is really bothering me. I am trying very hard to like Adam, and you're making it extremely difficult.
You know what? This isn't about Adam. You've had it in for Paulina since the very beginning.
Oh, please.
You have.
I do not have it in for a fictional character.
Okay.
She's flighty, she's flirty, she's a flawed character.
Oh, of course, the three flaws: flighty, flirty, and flawed.
Yes. And clearly, if he's chasing after someone like her, he's sitting on some pretty major issues.
Oh, really? She's the hottest girl on the island by a factor of 10. So, maybe he's not the one with the issues.
What is that supposed to mean?
He's not the one who values propriety over passion.
Are you saying I don't believe in passion?
No. I'm sure you do, just so long as the laundry's done first. Adam and Paulina tumbled passionately into bed. Adam and Paulina tumbled passionately into bed.
Oh, boy! Now you're talking!
Minutes pass.
This is a great island!
Hours. Much later, they tumble back onto the bed, covered in sweat. Alex is imagining the scene.
I'm exhausted.
I bet you are. Okay, so now what?
What do you mean?
Grandmother's dead. Everything's worked out for our lovebirds. Paulina has her money. Adam has Paulina. Shaw goes away. Now what happens?
I have to vomit.
You have no place to go from here, do you? You've written yourself into a corner. You're supposed to put your head over the toilet.
Yeah, I've been vomiting since I was 6. I believe I can handle it. I think I'm dying.
You're not dying.
No, really. I'm burning up. I feel real bad.
You're not that warm.
Why does everyone just tacitly accept the hand of the forehead test as being medically reliable?
You're fine.
I got a pain in my chest. This could be serious.
Okay. Listen, if these symptoms persist and you really think you're having a heart attack, now, this is important. I want you to call me immediately because there's no point in my wasting bus fare if you're just going to be dead. Have a nice evening. So what are you saying? You're still blocked?
Totally. I mean, who said it better than you? Grandmother's dead, Paulina's got the money, Adam's got Paulina, and I've got nowhere to go.
You're not gonna vomit again, are you?
I gotta get out of here.
Where are you going? We don't have much time left. Shouldn't we keep working?
This is working.
It is?
Yeah. When I get stuck, I need to get my mind off things for a while. I need to look at birds and trees, people doing things like throwing frisbees, rollerblading, that kind of thing.
Good, because maybe once you get your mind clear, you realize he should have never jumped into bed with her like that.
I've wanted to be a writer for as long as I can remember. My parents got divorced when I was 8, and I started writing stories as a place to put my feelings. I found that it was a lot easier to have characters say things than it was to say them myself. I mean, that's the beauty of writing, is you can have things work out the way they never seem to in real life.
Sometimes things work out in life.
Hey, I'm all for it.
Have you ever been married?
In real life? No.
Let me guess. You just haven't met the right woman.
Exactly. And I know what you're gonna say, that you have to be the right man in order to meet the right woman. But I know in my heart that I am the right man. And I know that the perfect woman is out there. Someone who's smart, funny, and beautiful. And here's the tricky part. Interested in me. I know she's out there. I just can't seem to... It's like, I feel like one of those greyhounds at the dog track, you know, chasing the mechanical rabbit. I get so close, but I can never quite seem to catch it.
They never do.
I know.
Maybe you don't want to catch her.
What did you say?
They stroll through the park, along the river, eating ice cream cones. She throws an American football back to a group of children. Now they're browsing at the items for sale on a second-hand bookstall. Emma reads the last page of one book, then moves on to another. He snatches a third from her and replaces it on its shelf. Now they're riding on the back of a boat before continuing their stroll along the river. Later, they make their way to her apartment.
I hope today helped.
It did. Things are starting to percolate.
I had a great time.
Me too.
Well, this is it.
Oh. Well?
He leans forward and is about to kiss her.
I got it! I got it!
What?
I never should have had the grandmother die. This is great! Thank you, thank you! I love you! You know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
This is great!
Great.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow. The grandmother lives.
Look who is alive!
The telegram said you were gone.
Well, of course I was gone. If I was not gone from there, how could I be here?
Weren't you worried taking such an arduous trip considering your health?
My health is fine. Those stupid doctors are idiots. They should have their licenses revoked. Every last one of them. First, they gave me a year to live. Then it became 6 months, then less than a month. To listen to them, I'd be dead 10 minutes after I got here.
The grandmother falls out of her chair.
What are you doing? The dead grandmother is what got you stuck in the first place. Now she's dead again.
No money at all.
Your mother had acquired one of the most extraordinary collections of rare perfumes in the history of France. Worth a fortune.
As you know, your mother, God rest her soul, made it to 90. Sadly, the perfumes did not.
What? They all evaporated. The last of it during her brief struggle with scurvy.
Your mother's fortune has evaporated?
Every penny of it?
She had scurvy.
Upon hearing grandmother's money had gone the way of all Chanel, Adam pondered his fate. He was no fool. He was a tutor, for God's sake. He knew it was only a matter of time before Paulina would find herself once again in the arms of his rival, the odious John Shaw. He pondered the engagement. He pondered the wedding. And then he pondered the wedding night. It was at that point that he realized maybe he should stop pondering.
Eldora, don't you stop Paulina.
Oh, then your Gipsy, you might try to forget her.
Yeah.
Have vampire.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What?
Eldora?
Eldora.
Eldora, the Spanish au pair, who was Elsa, the German au pair, who was Ilva, the Swedish au pair.
Si.
No. Alex? Absolutely not. Even if Eldora was the greatest character since Scarlett O'Hara, which quite frankly seems like a long shot, we don't even have time to go back and change everything.
I know, but I don't
3 days, Alex. We have 3 days.
I know, but something's missing. Maybe he needs another obstacle to keep him from Paulina.
He's broke, she's marrying another man, and if you ask me, she doesn't even love him. I think he has enough obstacles.
Wait, wait. I got it. It's not an obstacle. It's the second triangle. You were right about the second triangle. This can work. And the changes will be easy. She's an American from Philadelphia, and her name's Anna.
Anna looks like Emma, too. Adam goes over to her as she cuts vegetables.
Hello, Adam. What?
You seem different today, Anna. Did you do something to your hair?
There was something in Anna's eyes that Adam, until now, blinded by his love for Paulina, hadn't seen. A deep sadness combined with a quiet strength that made her seem incredibly beautiful.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Absolutely.
It's not very attractive. You know, he's just rebounding.
No, he's not.
Rebounding like a wild man.
What are you talking about? This is the triangle heating up. Anna has feelings for him. He has feelings for her. But he also has feelings for Paulina. This way, the reader doesn't know who he's going to wind up with. You hook him in.
Who does he end up with?
See? Hooked. What do you say we head into town?
I have to.
Why, you don't have to do anything. You're making stew. That's why they call it stew. You let it stew. Come on, live a little. I'll buy you lunch. Are you hungry?
Not really.
Perfect. I don't have any money.
Sounds good.
How did you come to work for the Delacroix?
I answered an ad for a summer job 5 years ago, and I've been with them ever since. Summers in St. Charles, winters in Switzerland, and the rest of the year in Paris.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Now that didn't sound exciting.
I'm living their life, not mine.
Maybe we can do something about that.
What?
Now, I'm just spitballing here, but how about this?
He kisses her tenderly on the lips. She smiles back at him sweetly.
I like living my life.
While those of a more cynical nature might think that Adam was merely on the rebound...
Cute.
The truth is that he found comfort in Anna. And with each passing day, his feelings for her grew stronger.
It's so interesting watching this process unfold. I didn't really understand what you meant when you said the characters would lead you, but now it's so clear why Anna and Adam would end up together all this time. They've been so close to each other without seeing what they have.
Who says they're gonna wind up together?
They're not.
I don't know.
How could they not end up together after they were so romantic?
That's exactly the point. See, if he's crazy about one but only lukewarm about the other, where's your triangle? But if he feels equally strong about both women, that's a real dilemma.
Yeah, but then you have...
No. Now we gotta stir things up a little.
Shipley, how goes it, my good man?
We're certainly in a good mood today, old bean.
And why not? Tonight, I shall ask Paulina for her hand in marriage. And by week's end, we'll be off to Paris to prepare for the wedding.
Tonight? Congratulations. And you're sure she'll accept?
I have 500,000 reasons that say she will.
500,000? That's a lot of reasons.
The lovely Paulina has expensive tastes.
Adam thought he'd gotten over Paulina, but the imminence of her betrothal made one thing abundantly clear. It was time to start pondering again. How does one choose between two women that one loves so dearly?
One pulls one's head out of one's ass and realizes the obvious. What we have is substantial.
When you lie in bed at night, is that what you dream of? Something substantial? Or do you dream of glamour, excitement, a life of adventure?
Dreams are often only that.
Excuse me?
I'm just saying that our love is based on something real. It's based on caring, understanding, mutual respect.
You left out that you gave him the wildest, most passionate sex he's ever experienced. Oh, wait, that was me.
He was racked with confusion. For the first time in his life, he understood the true meaning of the expressions horns of a dilemma and between a rock and a hard place. Although the concept of paying through the nose had always tormented him. How does the money get in the nose in the first place? Once in, is it pulled out by hand or is a sneeze involved? And who would accept such a transaction? Burning questions all, but he had bigger fish to fry.
What do you have to think about? I'm here. I'm in love with you, and she's not even available.
I could be.
Yes, for $500,000, which you don't have.
A small obstacle for a great man. A small obstacle for a great life.
I need money.
Oh, no.
Good. That's exactly the reaction I want. I want the reader to be surprised.
Do you want the reader to hit you over the head with the book?
Think like a writer. There's more to play with here. Where does he get the money? You got the ticking clock of Shaw's proposal, and you still don't know who he's going to wind up with.
If he makes a play for Paulina and loses, Anna would have to be an idiot to take him back.
I don't know. The human heart, it's a ethereal web of contradicting emotions. Impossible to decipher in all its complexity.
Yeah. An idiot.
Okay, good. Can we, although his feelings for Anna were undeniable, his feelings for Paulina were slightly more undeniable. In the course of his summer on St. Charles, he had made many acquaintances, some more savory than others.
Do you dance the flamenco?
Well, I,
Cause real men dance the flamenco. Are we loaning money to a real man?
I have been known to flick a castanet on occasion, yeah.
The flamenco dancers look like Tony and Bobby.
Prove it.
Adam pulls off his jacket and swings it around as he shimmies out to the center of the dance floor.
Stay with me, boys.
He shuffles round and round on the spot and then strikes some karate poses. He makes a rippling motion with his arms.
He's gone.
Next, he leaps around, striking chords on an air guitar before finishing with a surfing pose. The three men flamenco towards him.
The interest is 200%. We'll give you 5,000 in 1 year to pay us 15,000.
200%? That's outrageous.
Senor, you are a desperate man. You're dancing the flamenco, to get money. This is not a strong bargaining position. 200%.
I can't. 200%, you're thieves.
Take it or leave it.
Okay, 200%.
One. You pay us back in 1 year? Oh, we killed you.
In the casino.
I have $5,000. Will the casino remove its limit for me tonight?
It's good. As you wish, monsieur. 5,000 pour monsieur Vert. Faites vos jeux, mesdames et messieurs, place your bets, ladies and gentlemen.
For Adam, the moment had come. He knew this time it would be different, and it was.
Cinq!
Yes!
Dix! Trente-six! Rouge!
He wins again, doubling his money each time.
The management has asked me whether you might be willing to retire for the evening.
One more bet. My entire stake, 320,000, on black.
Very well, monsieur.
One more win and Paulina would be his. There are times in life when, for no apparent reason, an unexplained sense of well-being comes over you. You're at one with the universe. You know exactly who you are, and your place in the world is secure. For Adam, that sense of ultimate bliss was destroyed by two words.
36, rouge. 36, red.
And just like that, it was all gone. His money, his future with Paulina, and Adam was convinced, his life.
Please don't tell me he's gonna go running back to Anna again.
I don't know.
Again, you don't know. Okay.
Who the hell could that be? It's a lady.
Like Erika. Oh, I'm not disturbing you, baby.
As a matter of fact, you are.
They push the door open.
It's a figureless bitch.
How you doing, boys? Like those shirts. You've got a bat.
We're here for a reminder.
Wait a second. I got one more day. I'm almost done.
Bueno, it's good. We help you to finish.
What are you doing? Jesus!
He smashes the phone in the TV.
No distractions.
Oh, that's my TV. What do you guys?
Perfect. This is cool. Did you finish the book? Did you get the money?
Did you buy a flat screen?
Better picture, man. 24 hours, chico. Not 25. Nos vemos, chico. Bye, lady.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
Oh, my God.
Are you all right?
Oh, my God. Should we call the cops?
I don't think that's a very good idea. Let's just finish the book. They'll get their money. Everything will be fine.
Wait a minute. Those are the flamenco dancers, aren't they? You borrowed money to gamble? Are you out of your mind?
At the time, yes.
So is everything in this book true?
No. I mean, there are things that I take from real life that work for the story.
Who else is going to show up? You have some sick grandmother who's going to come rolling in here and drop dead?
No.
Is there really a Paulina?
Look, Emma, the next time Dimwit and Lowboy come back here, they're not just going to be smashing telephones and TVs, you know? So, please, let's just try and finish.
There are banks, you know.
Yes, I know. If you want to take a break, I understand.
No, I'm fine. Okay. You're the one they want to kill.
Way to bounce back. Here we go. As Adam wandered the streets of St. Charles like a man who had not only lost all his money, but all sense of who he was,
he found himself lying under the boardwalk next to an old seagull. He stared vacantly into the gull's eyes and finally drifted off to...
He's fallen asleep.
Alex? Alex?
How you doing?
Were you sleeping or just thinking?
I was sleep thinking.
Maybe we should take a break.
No. We gotta keep going.
Alex, if we just get a couple hours of sleep, then we can make the final push.
Okay, 2 hours. I'm gonna sleep here on the couch. You take the bed, set the alarm while you're up there.
No, you should sleep in the bed.
I'll be fine here on the couch.
Look at you. You can't get any rest like that.
Well, neither would you, so.
All right, we'll both sleep in the bed.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
She climbs up the ladder to his bedroom.
So you want to sleep together there?
You're right. You should sleep on the couch.
No, I'm just saying it's a rarely used meaning of the term sleep together, where there's actual sleep involved with snoring and REM cycles and all that. That's all I meant.
Setting the alarm.
He takes off his shoes and lies back on the bed. She flicks off the light.
Good night.
Can you say good night if you're only sleeping for 2 hours?
Good night.
Apparently you can. Good night. So what's his name?
What?
What's his name?
Who?
Your fiance.
Thought we were trying to get some sleep.
Just want to know what his name is.
It's Art. Art Greco.
Art Greco?
Mm-hmm.
Art Greco, the discount dentist?
What?
The guy on all the buses?
Oh. Yeah? Yeah?
He must be good, because you've got excellent teeth.
Alex.
Wait a minute. I mean, maybe I'm being presumptuous here. I mean, just because he's your fiance and the dentist doesn't automatically make him your dentist. Maybe it's one of those conflict of interest things, like a doctor that won't operate on his own family. On the other hand, drilling a tooth isn't exactly surgery, although they do call it oral surgery, so I suppose...
All right, I lied. I don't have a boyfriend, I don't have a fiance, I'm not getting married.
But Art Greco is your dentist.
I'm sorry, but... If you met you the way I met you, what would you have done?
I probably would have turned around and walked out. I'm glad you didn't, though.
Me too.
I'm also glad you don't have a boyfriend.
They stare lingeringly at one another.
Me too.
He leans forward and kisses her lovingly on the mouth. The next morning, the sun casts a warm glow on the city. Emma's lying in Alex's arms.
He awoke early the next morning to find the seagull sitting on his chest. As the early morning mist on the beach and the one in his mind started to clear, his thoughts turned once more to Paulina.
Alex?
Yes?
Is there a Paulina?
What do you mean?
In real life?
No, not really, you know. She's an amalgam.
An amalgam?
Yeah, she's a combination of a lot of women I've known.
You've been with a lot of women like her?
No, you know, you meet people like that. They run in a fast crowd.
You've been in these fast crowds?
No, you know what I mean. You read about them. They're always running off to be with that guy on a boat or this guy on a private plane, and she's an amalgam. Adam went to find Paulina, hoping against hope there was still a chance for him.
How much did you lose?
Everything, but I can win it back.
To be a deer and hand me that pumice stone?
Look, Paulina, I know it's a cliche to say that the best things in life are free and that money can't buy love, but that's how they become cliches, because they're true. I mean, shouldn't love trump everything?
If only we lived in a world of shoulds.
We can.
No, we should, but we can't.
Paulina, please don't deny yourself real happiness.
I'll try not to.
Could you hand me that robe over there?
He helps her on with the robe.
Oh, Adam, there were times I just didn't.
With the vacation coming to a close and with the pieces of his heart scattered by the summer winds of St. Charles, Adam sought solace in the one person who had always been there for him. She was a modern woman. She would understand if he spoke from his heart. He was certain she would take him back. I don't suppose there's any chance you might...
No.
Because I went off and with
yeah.
Paulina. So even if I was to come
no.
to you as a... Because I've shown myself to be
exactly.
real. Exactly. Okay, so I'll just
yeah.
go... For the first time in his life, he truly understood the expression, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Not to mention, never bite off more than you can chew. Paying through the nose, on the other hand, continued to present problems. The end.
He ends up alone.
You think it's too sad?
It's the only way it can be. He obviously never had a chance with Paulina, and Anna, who was a real possible. As soon as he felt himself getting close to her, he ran for the hills. It's a classic case of fear of intimacy.
Yeah.
Your other book was about that too, wasn't it?
No. That was about fear of commitment.
Oh. Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, it's a funny book, and it's sad, and it makes me feel for everyone in it, and you did it in 29 and a half days. You should feel very good.
Yeah. So, where are you going?
I have 3 days of transcription to do, and we only have 6 hours until the Cuban invasion.
You really think it's good?
I think it's very good.
Thank you, Emma.
You're welcome.
Emma? I, you too.
He kisses her tenderly on the lips. She goes and steps out onto the street.
Hey, taxi! Hey! Merci, monsieur. Give the change.
A woman who looks just like Paulina climbs out of the taxi. Emma dismisses it. Alex goes to answer his phone.
Hello. Hello. Paulina?
He heads outside and does up his jacket. He goes across the street and finds Paulina sitting outside a coffee shop. They embrace warmly.
You look good.
You too.
They sit at an alfresco table.
So how you been?
I left John.
Really?
What can I say? I shouldn't have gone with him in the first place.
Oh, you were looking out for your children.
That's my problem. I never think of my own happiness. You should have knocked me out, tied me up, taken me away with you.
Emma's rushing around her apartment, stuffing things into her bag. She gets to the door, but suddenly hurries back into her bedroom and grabs some lingerie from a drawer. Her taxi pulls up outside Alex's. She climbs out and looks up at his window.
Deep down, I always knew you were the one.
Alex? Alex?
Are you seeing anyone?
Emma walks out of the apartment and sees Alex with Paulina. She stares at them for a moment before crossing the street.
Like something out of a fairy tale. No, really, I became intoxicated, like somebody had slipped something in there.
All done.
Emma, I didn't know you'd be finished so soon. I mean, I was just on my way back.
It's okay, I found you.
Emma, this is Paulina. Paulina, this is Emma. She's my stenographer. I just finished dictating my novel to her. She did an amazing job.
I have to go. It was very nice to meet you, Paulina. I've heard so much about you.
I'll be right back. Emma, I didn't know she was coming. I thought
that
she was...
Don't, Alex, please. Because you know what happens with these things. Somebody always says something to try to make the other person feel better, but it never does. So if you could just not say anything. Your stenographer? You introduced me as your stenographer?
I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to hurt either one of you.
No, Alex. Who you didn't want to hurt was you.
Emma, wait a sec.
You know what I can't figure out?
What's it gonna be, sweetheart?
Yeah, one second. I can't figure out what's worse, having to know every single detail about your desperate love for some other woman, or having to know that you obviously never came close to feeling the same way about me. Goodbye, Alex.
She climbs on the bus and it pulls away. Alex goes back over to Paulina's table.
She's not just your stenographer.
No.
Is she your girlfriend?
Not anymore.
Come with me tonight. There's a darling little charity ball at the Ritz. And mine, I think.
I don't think I can.
Hey, it's perfect. You finished your novel. We can leave for Paris in the morning. It's beautiful this time of year. And the kids would love to see you. I'll take you to Giverny. Have you ever seen the water lilies? They're magical.
Alina, have you ever done your own laundry?
What?
Nothing.
You should have a gun to your head more often.
You like it?
You kidding me? Usually an author falls on his ass with a second effort. This is terrific. Okay, here you go. Just like you requested. $25,000 made out to you, and $100,000 made out to... Now, is it Cuban Mafia or the Cuban Mafia? I'm kidding. Cash.
So, what do you think of the ending?
I like it. It's bittersweet.
Alex walks along the street with his hands in his pockets. Emma's lying in bed, awake.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now. Please leave a message.
Emma, it's me. If you're there, please pick up. I'm not just calling to make you feel better. I really need to talk to you. Please give me a call.
The next morning, a road sweeping vehicle is cleaning the street. Emma steps out of her apartment to find Alex is waiting for her.
Can we talk?
The fact that you called 17 times last night with no response from me sent any kind of signal to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an idiot. I figured you probably wanted to talk to me, but that your machine was broken. Emma, wait a second. Emma, wait. Look, I think I'm in love with you.
I think I couldn't care less.
Emma, please, just...
He watches the bus pull away. Now Emma's watching TV.
He screwed up big time with his wife's cousin.
I did not start this whole thing.
He tells one version.
She was telling me the whole time that my wife was cheating on me.
She tells another.
That's not how it happened. No, it's not.
Maybe my life's not so bad. Hello?
Emma?
Alex, if you keep this up...
I have your check. I could bring it over if you want. Because you work so many extra hours, I added in...
Send it to me.
I need to talk to you about the book.
No.
Look, the ending's not right. My editors think it's fine. You're the only one I can talk to about it.
I'm not gonna do this, Alex.
I think Adam should end up with Anna.
I don't think so. There's some things that are nothing more than what they are. They're not meant to last. They just take their place in your heart and make you a little smarter the next time.
Emma...
If you care for me as much as you say you do, then please respect my feelings and let's move on with our lives, okay? Okay.
Okay. Good night, Emma.
Goodbye, Alex.
He clutches the receiver in his hand and stares down at the floor. Another day, Emma steps out of a subway station. Referring to a note, she scans the buildings along the road until she finds the one she's looking for. She steps out of a lift into the Polk, Taylor, Pierce, Fillmore and Van Buren law firm offices.
Can I help you?
Well, I'm here for a deposition. Is there a Mr. Taylor?
Ah, yes. We've been expecting you. If you could just take a seat. Your stenographer's here. Yes, I'll tell her. Someone will be with you in just a moment.
She sits in the waiting room until Marty comes over to her.
Good morning. I'm Marty Van Buren. Won't you come in?
Yes.
Just follow me. Jenny, could you get me that deposition on the McKinley case?
Right away.
Great. Okay, why don't you just go in here and set up, and Zach Taylor will be with you in a minute.
Thank you.
He takes her to the boardroom. She takes a seat at one end of the long wooden table and places her keyboard down in front of her. She undoes her jacket button and taps her hands on the table.
Oh, Jesus.
Welcome to Polk Taylor Fillmore Pearson Van Buren. I take you met Marty.
What is this?
He's actually my publisher. These are his offices. He charged me an arm and a leg for all the new lettering, but the role playing was free.
What do you want from me?
I told you. I want to change the ending of the book, because you know some people, they go right to the last page, so it's important that
You should get someone else to do this.
Look, there's no one else that I trust. You're the only one who'll know if it's real, if it's honest.
Alex.
It's only a couple of pages, Emma, please.
She places her hands over the keys and lets out a heavy sigh.
Adam returned to Andover, filled with the dizzying emotions of his summer on St. Charles, emotions that he hoped he could capture on paper. When his thoughts turned to Paulina, it was as if she were some kind of dream.
I can't do this.
Please, Emma, just keep typing.
She sits back at the keyboard.
You remembered her flawless skin, her dark, intense eyes, her captivating smile. Then one day that dream walked back into his life. Her beauty was still undeniable.
Why are you doing this to me?
Because I need you to understand. Just let me finish, Emma, then you can walk out the door and I swear I'll never bother you again. Her beauty was still undeniable, but it wasn't the same. As she spoke of her feelings for him, all he could think of was Anna. Sweet, caring, beautiful Anna. And how his own failings had driven her away. Anna had become part of him. He had fallen so completely in love with her that it was hopeless to think that he could ever be with anyone else. And so he said goodbye to Paulina and set off to win back the heart of his true love. Yes, Paulina had been a dream, like a creation from one of his stories, but Anna was real. And for the first time in his life, that felt more powerful than anything he could ever invent. The end.
Nice last sentence.
He takes her by the hand.
Just a writer, Emma. I don't know what to do to show you how much I love you. I only have words. That's all I have.
Maybe I was wrong.
About what?
Maybe you can catch the rabbit.
He kisses her lingeringly. And the image morphs into one of Adam and Anna also sharing a tender kiss. The two couples merge into one another as their surroundings switch from the present to the past and back again.